lot. There's nothing like it, and I'm sure glad that he had grace upon me. And take your Bibles tonight, all right? Let's go to Acts chapter. Actually, you don't need to go there. I'm going to go there. You go to Genesis chapter number 39, all right? Genesis chapter number 39. And I'm going to read a verse while you're going to Genesis chapter number 39. And Acts chapter number 7 and verse number 9, the Bible says this. The Bible says, and the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. I want you to think about that phrase there, but God was with him. Now go to Genesis chapter 39. You should already be there. Genesis chapter number 39, and we'll be there in those chapters. The remainder of Genesis, for the most part, throughout the remainder of the message, Genesis chapter number 39. I'd ask for you to stand, if you would, and out of respect for God's Word, and let's read a few verses there quickly. Genesis chapter number 39, and starting at verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither." Notice this phrase, verse number 2, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that," notice the phrase again, "the Lord was with him, and that he made," or "and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Now I want you to look down, same chapter, chapter 39. Look at verse number 21. Let's read a couple of verses there. Chapter number 39, verse number 21, the Bible says, actually look at verse number 20, the Bible says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison." Look at verse 21, the first phrase, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it." Verse number 23, "The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because," look at the phrase, "the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." I want to preach on that phrase, "the Lord was with him," and I want to preach on this, why God was with Joseph. Why God was with Joseph. And I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to be with me. I want the Lord to be in everything that I touch. I want the Lord to be in every area that I would serve Him. I want the Lord to be in everything that I say, in everything that I do. I want the Lord to be there, and I want the Lord to be in it. And I want to preach to you on that subject just for a minute. Why was God with Joseph? Brother Greg Curtis, would you pray and ask the Lord to bless the reading of the Scripture and to bless the message? Thank you so much for standing. You can be seated. Can I say the most needful thing in my life and in your life today is God. The presence and the power of an almighty God. Despite the mindset of the humanistic society that we live in, I need God. Despite the self-sufficient attitude of today, I need God. You need God. And despite the thoughts that those around you may think that they can handle anything that comes their way, hey, you need God. I need God. More than anything else in this world, I need God. I need God tonight more than food. I need God tonight more than water. I need God tonight more than I need my family. Friend, listen to me. I need God tonight more than I need money. More than I need a place to live, I need God. More than I need education, I need God. More than I need prosperity, young people, listen to me. More than you need prosperity, you need God. More than I need popularity, more than you need popularity, we need God. More than a young person, listen, more than you need a boyfriend or a girlfriend, hey, you need God. More than I need a job, I need God. More than I need air to breathe tonight, Brother Tim, I need God. More than anything else in this world, I need God. More than anything else in the world, you need God. You may think in your mind tonight as you sit here at Clearview Baptist Church on August the 22nd of 2018, you may think, man, if I could just get this, boy, that would be tremendous. If I could have a nice new house, boy, that would be tremendous. Some of you may think in your mind, boy, if I could have that brand new car that I've been checking out on that lot over there, and the Lord, I know He's going to give it to you. And you think, man, if I could have that, boy, everything would be just right. Many of you, you think, boy, if I could get a raise at work, boy, that would be just phenomenal. That's all I need, Brother Junior. Many of you, you may think, whatever the case may be, we could go down the list and on, and you may think, man, that's all I need in life. But can I tell you, that's not what you need in life. What you need and what I need most of all in our lives is God, His presence and His power in our life. You understand, tonight, friend, listen, without God, I can't be a good Sunday school teacher. Without God, I can't run a bus route. Listen to me. Without God, I'm going to get on everybody's level here in just a moment, but without God, Brother Chris, I can't be a good husband. I can't be a good daddy. Listen, without God, I can't have a right kind of family and lead my family. Without God, I can't be the right kind of church member. Listen, without God, I can't be the right kind of employee. Listen, without God, I can't be the right kind of choir member. Without God, you can't be the right kind of usher. Without God, you can't be the right kind of staff member. Without God, hey, you can't be the right kind of deacon. Hey, I need God. You need God. Oh, that we would understand our need tonight. That we need God. Oh, I need God in everything that I do. Everything that I touch, I need God. I need God and you need God because you understand, listen, the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 26, also in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 27, with God, all things are possible. On the contrary, the Bible also tells us in John chapter number 15, listen, John chapter number 15 and verse number 5, without me, ye can do nothing. With God, all things are possible. Without me, ye can do nothing. Friend, listen to me tonight. Oh, hey, how we need to understand that everything that we need tonight is God. We need God more than we need anything in this world, more than we need our family, more than you need your spouse tonight. Listen to me. You need God more than you need this church tonight. You need God. I need God more than anything in this world. We need God. Oh, that we would grasp these words from Christ Himself, how that we need Him. He said, hey, without me, you can't do anything. Oh, without me, listen, young person, listen, lady, listen, gentleman, hey, without me, God says, hey, without me, you can't even get up out of bed in the morning. Listen, He said, without me, hey, you can't go to work in the morning. Without me, hey, you don't have anything without me, is what He's saying. Without me, you can't do anything. I need Him in everything that I do. The sad reality is that most of us go through life on a daily basis without God by our side. Most of us, day in and day out, we go through life and we face those things of life on our own. We don't have God there. His presence, His power there with us to face whatever it is that may come our way. And I don't know about you, friend, listen to me, but I want God by my side. As I travel this path of life, you know what? I want God by my side. Because I know I can't face those difficulties, Brother James. I can't face those struggles that will come tomorrow. I don't know what may come my way next week, but I know this. I know that I can't handle it on my own. I know that God's the only one that can handle it. Oh, friend, listen to me. Oh, that we would get to the place in our life where we'd understand, hey, I can't do anything without God. I need God in everything that I do. Oh, it's because of Him that anything's accomplished. As I face the decisions that I'll face this week, listen to me, young person. I need God. You need God. As you go to school this week and you put forth the efforts that are there in those classes, hey, listen, you can't do that on your own. You need God. Hey, listen to me, sir. As you go to work this week and you face maybe that angry boss that's there to rattle your cage about whatever he may want to, listen to me, you don't have the wisdom to face that difficulty. You need God. I need God in everything that we do. We need God. Oh, listen to me. Joseph, he faced numerous challenges in his life. Many of you that know the life of Joseph. Joseph, he faced all kinds of difficulty. And we'll look at some of it here in just a moment. But Joseph, listen to me. In every challenge that Joseph faced, God was with him. The phrase that we read just a moment ago, the Lord was with him, or God was with him, or God was with Joseph, whatever the case may be, God was there with him. There was a problem, and there was God. Satan would throw a dart at him, and there was God. Life would seem unfair to him, listen to me, and there was God. I don't know about you, friend, listen to me. I want that in my life. I want to know that every obstacle that I'll face, every challenge that may come my way, every difficulty, every decision, every unfair treatment that may seem in my eyes, I want God there to face that with me. Joseph, he had the presence of God, but I want you to understand that presence of God that was there with Joseph, it wasn't by accident. It wasn't just by happen chance. Listen, friend, there was some things that were set in order in Joseph's life in order for Joseph to experience that, hey, you know what, man? My brothers, they sold me into slavery and cast me into a pit, but hey, you know what? There God was. He's right there with me. I'm not on my own. God's there with me. Listen to me, friend. Joseph, he had set some things in order in his life. Joseph, he had put up some boundaries in his life. Joseph, he had made some personal decisions in his life that brought about the fact that God was with him in everything that he faced. Can I say to you tonight, you too will have to arrange some things in your life. I too will have to arrange some things in my life if I want God's presence, if I want God's power in my life. Can I say, I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I want God's presence. I want God's power. Oh, listen to me, friend. I don't know about you, but I want God's presence in my life. I want God's power on my life. And friend, listen to me. You're going to have to arrange some things in your life if you want God's presence in your life. You may sit here tonight and you may think, yeah, you're right, Brother Nichols. You know what, man, I go day in and day out. And you know what, I face those difficulties on my own. I face those challenges on my own. But you know what, I'm tired of that. I'm going to have God's presence. Well, can I tell you, it doesn't just come just out of nowhere. No, you have to work for it. You have to do some things. You have to set some things in order in your life in order to have that presence. I want to give you just quickly, I want to look at a few things from the Scripture that reveal to us why God was with Joseph. Why do we read these portions of Scripture that state God was with him? Joseph was facing those difficulties, and the Bible says, but the Lord was with him. But God was with him. During those difficult times, let me just give you quickly. I've just got three of them, and so we won't be long, but they are pretty vast, all right? But why was God with Joseph, and how can I have God in His presence, in His power in my life? Well, I say, first of all, first thing that I see from the Scriptures of why God was with Joseph was because, number one, his attitude towards sin. His attitude towards sin. Why was God with Joseph? Because of his attitude towards sin. Joseph, he had already been sold. We come up to Genesis chapter number 39, and Joseph, he's already been sold by his brothers, and now he's at Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife, she casts her eyes upon him. Look on down, Genesis chapter number 39. Look at verse number 7. Let's read a few verses. God was with Joseph because of his attitude towards sin. Verse number 7, chapter number 39, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused. He said to his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what it is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." Notice the phrase. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Oh, listen to me, friend. God was with Joseph during those difficult times, and God was with Joseph during those challenges in his life because of his attitude towards sin. Listen to me. Oh, friend, that God would deliver us from this softball, this pacifist, this hobnob attitude towards sin. Listen to me. Most of us, the average Christian, their attitude towards sin is, oh, I'll get as close as I can to it. As long as I don't commit any of those big sins, I'll be okay. And we flirt with sin, and we softball it, and we say, oh, well, you know, it's not that bad. It's not as bad as what brother so-and-so's doing over here. It's not as bad as what sister so-and-so's doing over here. Oh, friend, listen to me. Joseph had an attitude towards sin of hatred. Oh, that we would have a hateful attitude towards sin. Listen to me, friend. It doesn't matter what society or how much society softens sin. Can I tell you, God's word still calls sin, sin. He still says it's sin. Society may call it an addiction. Friend, can I tell you, God's word calls it drunkenness. Society may call it slang, but God calls it cursing. God calls it taking his name in vain. Oh, listen, society, they may say it's just an anger issue, but God calls it hate. Hey, society may say it's an alternative lifestyle, but God says it's an abomination. Society, they may call it self-confidence. God calls it pride. Listen, friend, society, oh, they've softened this thing of sin, Brother Roy, and even Christians have softened this thing of sin. But Joseph, hey, listen, Joseph said, no, I'll have no part of that. I don't want anything to do with it. Get away from me, he said. You see, we think this. We think that if we change it to a softer term, then it's not really that bad. Let me read to you an old distinguished minister named Dr. Howard from Australia. He preached very strongly on the subject of sin. And after one of the services, one of his church officers, they came to counsel with him in his study. And Dr. Howard, he said, "We don't want you to talk as openly as you do about a man's guilt and corruption. Because if our boys and our girls hear you discussing that subject, they'll more easily become sinners. Call it a mistake, if you will, but don't speak so plainly about sin." The minister turned and he took down a bottle. And across the front of it, he said, "You see what that label says? It says strychnine." And underneath that word strychnine, in bold red letters, was the word poison. He turns to the man and he asked him, he said, "Hey, do you know what that means? You know what you're asking me to do? You're asking me to change the label." He says, "Suppose I do. And suppose I paste over the word strychnine and poison, peppermint oil. Don't you see what happens?" He said, "The milder that you make your label, the more dangerous you make your poison." Listen, friend, sin is a serious thing. Oh, that we would get back to the fact that sin, it's not just something that is a mistake, friend. Listen, it's not just, I just slipped up. No, friend, God says it's sin. And Joseph, Joseph, he had an attitude of hatred toward this thing called sin. Joseph said no. His Potiphar's wife would come to him and say, oh, lie with me, Joseph. Come on. Potiphar's not around. He won't know anything about it. Joseph said, hey, it doesn't matter if he knows anything about it. God knows about it, and I won't have any part of it. Joseph said about sin, he said, I can't commit this wickedness. He said, it's not just a bad decision, it's a wicked sin. Oh, friend, can I tell you? If I want God's presence in my life and power, if you want God's presence and God's power in your life, hey, listen to me, you're going to have an attitude towards sin of hatred. And Joseph, he said, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Can I say your attitude towards sin will determine God's presence and God's power in your life? Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse 14 and 15, the Bible still says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 22, you know the verse. The Bible still says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Sin, my friend. Sin. Why was God with Joseph? God was with Joseph because of his attitude towards sin. He said, I'm not having any part of it. Can I tell you the problem for most of us? The problem is that there's no presence of God. There's no power of God. Listen to me. We're living in a day in our churches where there is no power. We're Christians. They don't have the power of God. They don't have the presence of God. Oh, listen, you used to be able to go to churches and boy, you'd hear the preacher preaching. You knew the power of God was upon him. And you could get around those that would witness and things of that nature. And Brother Roy, you knew that God was with them and they had the power of God. But not anymore. For the most part, there's no presence of God because there's a love for sin. There's a love for sin. Oh, listen to me. Hey, we like to be able to get up close to sin and, boy, just rub shoulders with it and take part in it a little bit as long as we don't go all the way. Oh, friend, listen to me. Not Joseph. Joseph said, it's wicked. I won't have any part of it. In fact, the Bible says he ran. He ran from sin. Can I say this? When we make light of sin, what we're really doing is we're making light of the cross. Think about it. When I make light of sin, I'm making light of the cross. You say, how so, Brother Nichols? Because it was on that cross that Jesus paid for sin. It was on that cross that Jesus went and paid for sin. You understand? It was sin that brought that crown of thorns that was placed upon his head. It was sin that drove those nails in his hands. Hey, friend, listen. It was sin that caused them to pass by and spit upon him and mock at him. And all of those ungodly things that were done to Jesus upon the cross of Calvary, it was because of sin that the words were echoed. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Listen, friend, it was because of sin that he took that cat of nine tails upon himself. Isaiah 53, verse number 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Oh, listen, friend. God was with Joseph because of his attitude towards sin. Can I tell you, when we have an attitude towards sin like Joseph did, we too can see the presence and the power of God in our life. I don't know about you, but I'd like to see God's presence, God's power in my life. I want God's presence. I want God's power. God was with Joseph, number one, because of his attitude towards sin. Let me say number two quickly. God was with Joseph because of his attitude toward the setting. God was with Joseph because of his attitude toward the setting. Joseph, he had been hated by his family for the dreams that he God had given him and he had told to them. He had been sold into slavery. He'd been lied about. Joseph had been cast into prison. Remember, he'd been forgotten about by the butler. And Joseph, boy, he had a rough road. But you know what? The best we can tell from looking at the scripture, Joseph didn't deserve any of it. I mean, best we can tell, Joseph, He was an obedient kid. Man, he tended to whatever his father had asked him to do. He did what was right. He tried to live for the Lord, best we can tell. Joseph didn't deserve any of it, but I want you to notice Genesis chapter number 45. Turn over a few pages, Genesis chapter number 45. God was with Joseph because of his attitude toward the setting. Genesis 45, I'll try to move quickly. Verse number 8, I just want to read one verse. Actually, let's go to verse 7, I'm sorry. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you, a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. You see that? It was not you that sent me hither, Joseph said. Hey, Joseph had every right, if you will, to maybe be angry. Joseph had every right, if you will, to maybe be a little bit bitter towards his brothers. He didn't do anything to them. They cast him in that pit, sold him. Joseph had every right, if you will, to be a little bit angry at Potiphar, because Potiphar didn't even question Joseph. He didn't even have a trial, if you will. Joseph had the right, if you will, to be bitter. But Joseph said, no, you know what? Hey, guys, you don't even understand. Hey, it wasn't you that sent me here, but it was God. God had a plan. Joseph understood. Listen, friend, this will help you if you'll listen to it. Joseph, his attitude toward the setting was this. Joseph understood that there was an eternal purpose that the God of heaven was trying to accomplish. Joseph wasn't angry. Joseph knew that further than what he could see, there was a God in heaven that was trying to accomplish something. Joseph, he didn't always rationalize, and it didn't always make sense. And by the way, let me say this. It won't always make sense in your life whenever circumstances come into your life, whenever circumstances come into my life. We won't always be able to rationalize and say, well, this is why God did it. No. Most of the time it won't make sense. We'll knock ourselves crazy trying to figure it out. But you know what? Joseph, he didn't make sense to him. He couldn't see what was going on, but can I tell you, God, he had a plan, and God was at work. God was at work to accomplish his perfect plan. And can I say to you, rather than being angry at the circumstances in his life that he seemingly didn't deserve, he said, God, and he could have said, God, you're not fair. He could have said, God, you made a wrong move. Listen to me. He could have said, God, you got the wrong person. But can I tell you, Joseph just said this song Brother Gaggin sings in morning devotions in school. Joseph said, I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord as he gives me song. Listen, friend, Joseph wasn't mad. Hey, Joseph, those circumstances in his life, yes, they were difficult. Yes, they were challenging. Hey, by far more challenging probably than anything we'll face this week. But Joseph, he said, hey, it doesn't matter. God sent me here. God's got a plan for what's going on. One of the greatest helps, listen friend, one of the greatest helps that you'll ever grab hold to is whenever you understand, you begin to understand the sovereignty of God. Whenever you understand that and you realize that, hey, whenever things come into my life, whenever things happen that I don't understand, hey, God is in complete control. I didn't say God is aware of it. I didn't say that, hey, well, God, they informed God about it. No, God is in complete control of it. God's holding the reins, friend. Listen, God's the one that's got a hold of the ropes, and he's the one that's controlling everything that takes place. And, oh, can I tell you, there's nothing in this world that's helped me more than understanding, hey, God's the one that's in control. I was 25 years old, sitting in my living room, and got a phone call, getting ready for work. I was fixing to go to work, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, somewhere around in there. Got a phone call. My brother, he had been having difficulty. He had a rocky marriage, and things weren't going just right. And he had been discouraged and that type of thing. But one of the things we weren't aware of the fact that, boy, he was contemplating suicide. Got a phone call October the 22nd, 2003, sitting in my living room. Other end of the line was his mother-in-law. And she had called me. She asked me the question. She said, "David, have you talked to Sam?" I said, "No, I didn't talk to him this morning. I've been getting ready for work. Just got out of the shower. Just getting ready to go to work." And she said, "Well, David, you need to hurry as fast as you can over to his house. They say he's killed himself." Can I tell you, friend, listen, that was one of the most heartbreaking things that I've ever heard in my life. One of the most challenging things I've ever faced in this life. We were best of friends. Boy, we hung out and we'd do all sorts of things together, just 2 years apart. And boy, we fought like cats and dogs growing up. But whenever we got grown, the Lord seemed to knit our hearts so close together. And boy, we were best friends. Can I tell you, I struggled with that. I struggled with the fact that God took my brother. I struggled with the fact I had thoughts in my mind, Caleb. I thought, why in the world, God, would you do that? God, why would you take him? I mean, why couldn't you have taken her? Or God, why couldn't you have taken somebody else? God, why him? Why would you do that? I mean, come on, God. And I had trouble with that. In fact, I had so much trouble, it took me a couple of years to move past that. For a couple of years, I went to the extent of trying to contact different people. And boy, the devil will work in your life if you'll let him. Listen to me, friend. Listen, when you've been wrong, the devil will try to work in your life. And if you'll let him, boy, you'll do things that you never thought you'd do. Boy, Satan would place thoughts in my mind, and Satan would give me a nudge. And by the way, I didn't need much nudging, and you don't either. Whenever those things happen, our own sinful flesh will push us to do a lot of things. And it took me a long time to understand. And one day I was, I don't even know where I was. I don't know what I was doing. But one day, it just seemingly the light clicked on. I mean, all that had gone on, and man, a couple years had passed, and I was angry, and man, I wasn't angry at God, but I was angry at the situation. And I thought, man, it just ain't fair. And the light switched on. And God seemingly said, "David, do you not understand that anything and everything that takes place in this world, hey, it happens because I allow it to? Nothing in this world can happen without the God of heaven allowing it to. Listen, it may not be His perfect will. Listen, it may not be His choice, but God allows it to happen." And I thought about, boy, I don't know what made me think about it, but I thought about, and I know this isn't the case, but I thought, boy, there's the God in heaven. He's sitting there, and He's got His desk there. And by the way, this probably isn't the way it is, but it sounds good. But God's sitting there, and God... everything comes across his desk, and he sits there and he looks at it and he says, "Okay, well, no, I won't let him do that. Let me see. No, not that. Okay, yeah, I'll sign off on that. That can happen. And no, not that one. Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, that can take place." And God signs off on everything that takes place. He has to. He controls everything. Everything that goes on is in God's power. God is able to stop it. God is able to permit it. Friend, listen to me. Whatever it is in your life, whatever tragedy may have taken place, whatever wrong may have come your way, hey, God had to have allowed it to happen. It wasn't by accident. God knows about it. It wasn't any surprise to him. Oh, listen to me. It wasn't a surprise to him what took place. He knew everything that would take place. And can I tell you, I can look at you today and I can look at things in my life and how that God used that circumstance in my life, and God moved me here and God moved me there and all of those things to get me exactly where He wanted me to be. You know what God, Joseph, he said, "You guys didn't send me here. God sent me here. It was God that brought me here." And can I tell you, friend, oh, listen, if you'll focus on the difficulties of the present, you will never, ever conquer the battles of the future. Never. You focus on those things. Let them keep your attention. Let them weigh you down. Let them keep you from doing what God wants you to do. You'll never conquer those battles that are coming up. Joseph said within himself, he said, hey, it doesn't matter what comes into my life. They can lie about me. They can cheat me. They can throw me in jail. Whatever comes my way, it doesn't matter. Hey, listen, God's got a plan for me. In 1995, I want you to listen to the story. A man woke up in a hospital bed in Arkansas. He had no idea who he was. In fact, he didn't know anything. He didn't know what his name was, that he'd been married for 24 years, that he had three sons, that he served as a pastor, and that he and his family lived on the grounds of a youth camp that they had started. But can I tell you, this was something more serious than amnesia. This man named John was suffering from a disease called aseptic meningitis. For whatever reason, the disease wiped away all his memory. John didn't know how to read, how to write. He didn't even know how to walk, talk, or chew food. Everything was blank for John. He had to learn how to do everything again. His statement is, all that I remember is from 1995 to this day. John says, I remember nothing before that. Everything that happened in my life beforehand is what I've been told. When I woke up from meningitis, I didn't know her, speaking of his wife. I didn't know me, that is his name. He didn't know anything, he says. John had to be cared for. He had to be taught as if he were an infant. All the way back down, learn how to eat. They had to start feeding him with baby food. They had to start teaching him how to walk. And for 2 years, he'd learn how to walk before he could walk well. He learned to speak by reading lips and matching the words that he heard with the way a person's mouth moved. And today, John still suffers from a variety of health problems, from seizures to cluster migraine headaches to an injured back. And in the last years, he's lost much of his sight. John and his wife Donna started a ministry. Many of you may know who I'm referring to, called God So Good Ministries, to testify the goodness of God even in the midst of an incredible struggle. John says the ministry name's inspired by something God taught him during the time of depression and discouragement after his new life began. He says this, I really love the book of Psalms because David had been through trials too. He kept saying, God is good. He remembers laying on the couch one night, John says. After a difficult day, he read Psalm chapter number 34, verse number 8. It says this, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. And John, he bowed on his knees and he prayed and he said, God, I'm going to believe You're good. If I never get better, I'm still going to believe You're good because that's what Your Word says. And I believe it. He said, John said this, he said, that must be what faith is. Believing You, even when I don't feel like it. And Brother John Bishop, he's the founder of Triple S Christian Ranch that our young people go to. Man's been through more things than, boy, many of us even know about, even still yet. But he wrote this chorus. He wrote, it says, God is good and God is right. God is good both day and night. He's always good, so never fear. He's always right and always near. That coming from a man that had everything taken from him. What's your excuse? What's my excuse? Oh, listen to me. We want God's presence and we want God's power in our life, but if God takes us through something like that, if God just has somebody say a crossword to us, oh, listen to me, we're ready to fight. And God is a bad God. Oh, not Joseph. Not Joseph. Boy, he was in terrible circumstances, but he said, oh, God sent me here. It's all right. You want God's presence, listen to me, friend, and you want God's power as Joseph experienced it. Hey, listen, forget about the circumstances. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hey, listen, friend, God's got a plan. Whatever you're facing tonight, God has a plan. Oh, and listen to me, as long as we hold on to that God's not good, as long as we have in our mind that God made a mistake, hey, listen to me, we can never have God's presence and God's power. Oh, we must understand that, hey, God's always right. God always has a plan, and God was with Joseph because Joseph knew that God had a plan. It's all in God's plan. It's okay. It's all right. Whatever comes my way, it's all in God's plan. Hey, throw me in jail, that's all right. It's God's plan. It's part of God's plan. Listen to me. Oh, Potiphar's wife, you lie about me, that's okay. It's all part of God's plan. He said, God sent me here. So we see it, God was with Joseph, number one, because of his attitude toward sin. Number two, God was with Joseph because of his attitude toward the setting. I know it's 7:04. I'm giving you the last point right now. God was with Joseph because of his attitude toward the suspects. God was with Joseph because of his attitude toward sin, his attitude toward the setting, and his attitude toward the suspects. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 50 real quick. Genesis chapter number 50. I want God with me. I want God's presence. I want God's power. Well, Joseph experienced that. And Joseph experienced that because of his attitude toward the suspects. Look at Genesis chapter 50, starting verse number 15. The Bible says, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. They sent a messenger to Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Verse number 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. Notice verse number 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Verse number 20, I love this. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Listen, God was with Joseph. Not just because of his attitude towards sin. Not just because Joseph was okay with the setting, but Joseph was willing to forgive. Those that had wronged him, Joseph didn't have an attitude of getting back at them. Listen, Joseph said, hey, you meant it as for evil, but God meant it unto good. Oh, hey, listen to me, friend. Joseph was saying, here's what he was saying in Mississippi language. He was saying, hey, guys, I ain't mad. It's okay. Friend, listen to me. Joseph knew what it was to forgive. Can I tell you? Boy, God's really got my heart on this. Oh, listen to me. If I'm going to have God's presence in my life, if I'm going to have God's power in my life, and by the way, if you're going to have it, if you're going to have either of those, you're going to have a spirit of forgiveness. Joseph was willing to say, hey, guys, listen, ain't no hard feelings here. He said, hey, man, I got nothing against you. And Joseph, he had been wronged tremendous. He'd been separated from his family. His integrity had been scarred, etc. The list goes on. But listen to me, friend. Joseph, he said, guys, it's okay. You know what our attitude tends to be? Our attitude tends to be, well, I tell you what, I got your number. Huh? Listen. We tend to say, hey, you know what? She's got it coming to her, sister. Oh, listen to me. Hey, friend, listen. Oh, Joseph, he didn't have that kind of attitude. We have this kind of attitude. Well, I'm just not ready to forgive. Listen, friend. We have the attitude. This boy, payback's tough, I tell you. You heard that one before. What about what comes around goes around? Or I'll show them a thing or two. Or, hey, I tell you what, when I can find it in my heart, I'll forgive them. Oh, listen to me, friend. Joseph didn't have that attitude. And you know what? Joseph experienced the presence of God. Joseph experienced the power of God. Joseph said, man, I'm not mad about you, man. I love you guys, man. You're my brother. You're my family. Hey, I don't have anything against you. Come on, I tell you what, man, we're going to take care of you. You don't have a thing to worry about. Joseph said, man, I don't have any wrong, no ill will towards you. And I tell you, dear friend, you can't have God's presence. I can't have God's presence. I can't have God's power until I can find it within myself, and you can find it within yourself to make amends with those that are around you. You can't have God's power. Can't happen. You can't be right with God and wrong with man, friend. Listen, Romans chapter 12, verse number 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. He said, live peaceably with those that you can get along with. He said, live peaceably with all men. All men, Brother Chris. You say, well, I tell you what, they're going to have to come to me and then maybe I'll forgive them. Hey, newsflash, friend. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, the Bible says, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault. God says, hey, you go to them. You go take care of it. No. Don't sit there and wait. Hey, you go to them and make it right. And you say, well, I'm not going to have anything to do with them. But I tell you what, boy, I sure love Jesus, Brother Roy. Liar. Liar. You say, well, I take offense to that. I'll tell you what, go to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. I didn't say it. God said it. Don't be mad at me. Hey, get angry at God. And we find out how that works out for you. 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 20. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a what? Liar. He's a liar. You can't love God and hate your brother. I can't love God and hate my brother. It doesn't work that way. Listen, you say, well, I don't hate him, Brother Nichols. I just strongly dislike him. Can I tell you, Webster's Dictionary, the word hate, to have strong dislike or ill will toward. How you like that? I'm just giving you facts, people. Hey, look, I want God's presence. I want God's power, and I hope that you want it. I hope that you say, Brother Nichols, man, you know what? I'm not just going through this thing, man, because you know what? I want Sister So-and-so to think, man, she sure is a good lady there. No, I want you to be going through it because, hey, you truly want to experience God's power. You truly want to experience God's presence in your life. Hey, listen to me, friend. If I'm just going through this thing because of what Sister So-and-so thinks or Brother So-and-so or whoever, Jim Bob down the street, you name it, hey, I'd quit tomorrow. Because it ain't worth trying to impress somebody. But you know what? I want God's presence. I want God's power. I want to know that God is present in my life. Listen, friend, an attitude, listen to this, an attitude of unforgiveness. It won't only stifle your relationship with God, but can I tell you this? It'll stifle the work of God in any ministry. You say, well, that's my business, what's going on. No, it's not, friend. You're a part of a local church. And whenever you're out of tune with God, when I'm out of tune with God, when I've got aught against my brother, when I can't look at the man across the aisle from me, hey, listen, it affects the ministry here at Clearview Baptist Church. And any church, furthermore. Listen, friend. Oh, listen. Let me just ask you this. Let me just beg you this. Hey, if you want, for the sake of your relationship with God, make it right, would you, for the sake of the ministry of Clearview Baptist Church, make it right? I beg you. That's between you and God. If you don't make it right, but you're affecting other people. Listen, friend. Oh, I want God's presence. I want God's power. Let me just give you this real quick. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 32, and I'll close. Remember this verse. We know it. But I think many times we look at it and we just pass right by it. What's it say? Be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's why I forgive. God was willing to forgive me, Brother Butch. Let me tell you, hey, this old wicked, sorry dude right here in front of you, God was willing to forgive me. Why in God's name can I not forgive others around me? The wrong that I did to them doesn't, or the wrong that I did to God is so much greater than that they would do unto me. Hey, listen to me, friend. Oh, if you want God's presence and God's power in your life, you're going to have an attitude toward the suspects, toward those around you, a forgiving attitude. Why God was with Joseph? Number one, his attitude toward sin. Number two, his attitude toward the setting. Number three, his attitude toward the suspects. Can I say you want God by your side through every step that you take? I do. If you want that, hey, listen. Here's an example that we see in God's Word. Joseph, he experienced God's presence, God's power in his life for those reasons. He was right. He had those areas right in his life. Can I tell you, maybe God's trying to speak to you tonight. Maybe God has pricked your heart tonight about something in your life that you need to make right. Can I say, come on down here to the old-fashioned altar. Man, don't sit there in your pew. Come down here and get it right. Come down here and lay it on the altar. You got a fault against somebody in this church or even outside of this church. Hey, come down here and make it right with God and then go to them and make it right. Listen, friend, whatever it is, in your life, whatever needs to be corrected in your life, I would say this. Don't sit in that pew and do nothing about it. If you want God's presence, God's power in your life, well, it's going to start by you coming down here and taking care of it. Getting some things lined out in your life like Joseph did. He arranged some things in his life. Before he ever saw God's presence, Joseph made some things right. Joseph lined some things out in order to see God's presence. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for your love, Lord God, your goodness to us. And God, I know I was a little bit longer than